Well, it's lovely to welcome back an old friend, Dylan Bradfield, portfolio manager at ShareNet. He is very wise and he has lots of insights, but something that he knows a lot more than most about is the Blue Telecom's Cell C story. Cell C is heading for a listing, well known in the South African, I suppose you could call it high street world, where we know it's one of the major cell phone providers. We also know that it hasn't done terribly well in the couple of decades that it's been around, but maybe things are turning around. Looking at a stock exchange listing, Dylan will tell us the story. Good to have you back, Dylan. Nice to be talking about something that a brand that would resonate with many people in South Africa. Just, you know the company terribly well. Why hasn't it cracked it? Why hasn't Cell C been the success that the early pioneers hoped it would be?
Yeah, thanks, Alec. Good to see you again. I think in just to sum it up, trying to take on too much too quickly, too much debt, a market that was getting quite saturated very quickly, trying to control too much capex within the environment that already had so many incumbents. And just a couple of missteps along the way. And, you know, before they knew it, they were having to do recap raises and change the approach that they came in. So maybe first mover advantage in these type of telcos definitely works. But I think where you can build a new moat, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to be had.
So MTN and Vodacom, or Vodacom MTN, I suppose you could put it that way, being the first movers in South Africa, they had a huge advantage. Cell C came along hoping to be able to crack it. As you say, they took on too much debt. And then it's a very difficult path, isn't it? You've got to pay the banks first before you can pay shareholders, before you can reinvest. And times taking on two big competitors mean that it's not going to be easy anyway. But how have they managed to basically stay in business given these obstacles that they faced?
Well, just to clarify, a lot of what they're doing now with the internal transactions with Blue Label is effectively freeing up Cell C from all of the, you know, debt burden liabilities within the company. So the first thing just to remember is this restructuring process now is sort of the rebirthing. It gives them the space and time to show the market how they're going to grow in their niche space. Specifically, they're going to focus on the MVNO market. They do have some growth vectors for the postpaid market, and they've obviously entered into the business enterprise market, which they're quite
now. You've lost me there, Dylan, with all of those. Okay, let's just unpack those, please, if you would. MVNO.
So mobile virtual network operations.
Okay, meaning.
Yes. So the history to date is they are the enabler for the MVNO market. They are the dominant player in there. Alongside them is MTN. But if we are looking through the sector and where all of the retailers and banks are coming online, they are looking for a quasi-agnostic data supplier. Cell C fits that mold. Cell C comes into the market. It provides the service, it supports the MVNO structure, so it's investing in that accordingly. So it's trying to just focus on being the enabler for a new moat or a disruptor within the telco market. And we're seeing that more and more, especially through Capitec Connect.
So Capitec would be the obvious one that's gone strongly there. But who else? Would it be the banks with the cell phone offerings they have? Other banks, rather?
Correct. So FNB is probably second behind Capitec in regards to their growth with over 1 million subscribers already. The growth, however, in Capitec is far faster than FNB's. They've just signed on Old Mutual now, which has come to market, which has also had an excellent start. And year to date, I think Cell C's actually signed up 16 new MVNO aggregators. So what we're seeing is quite a spread across the market of retailers and businesses trying to understand their clients, trying to market them more efficiently, and the whole back end all of that is the luring of data or the allure of data. You give them a little bit and you get to understand their habits and their spending habits, how they behave, and that becomes quite valuable to all of those participants.
Okay, so we understand a lovely niche that Celsi has got. They're clawing their way back into being a real player in the South African market. And today, a circular, or there's an announcement on the Stock Exchange News Service that a circular is being sent to shareholders. What exactly is in that circular, and why did they have to tell shareholders about it?
Yes, it's a lead up towards the pre-listing. It gives some historical guidance on where the market has come from in regards to Celsi and its audits. It also puts forward the assumptions to which they are assuming that they will list the company. They've given the valuation of that around 18 billion rand. They've also walked individuals through on how much equity they expect to hold or retain post the IPO, which is just over 40%. And then they've given some indication on how they would use those proceeds accordingly. To give you the simple short end of it is they would pay down their debts. Of that, there's 6 billion. I think 4.5 billion was interest accruing and 1.5 billion was non-interest accruing. The remainder of the 3 billion would be split accordingly with working capital needs as well as a special dividend or buyback. What's also important to remember is once you've paid off all of your debts, Blue Label won't have the overhang of the interest bill that they would have had over the last couple of years. So you get that reverse mechanism starting to come through in their earnings. I think the market hasn't fully understood that as yet. And then also with the new working capital, Blue Label gets to go back to the original business mechanisms, which was the treasury functionality, which has been mentioned a few times, but few understand exactly how that actually works.
Okay, so Blue Label is listed on the stock market. It's got the big chunk of Celsi. It's going to retain 40% of that into the future. It's going to pay off its debts. It's going to go back to its old business model. So it'll have a free ride, I guess you could say, of Celsi, hopefully, which is going to be profitable. And it'll be kicking in from its old business model, won't have to pay a lot of interest. That must be quite an appealing proposition for potential and existing investors. I know you've been following this one. You know this company well. Are you still invested there?
We are. We very much are. I think as of today, Blue Label's still up over 100% year on year or year to date. So, the market's just perhaps digesting a little bit of the circular news as well as how much the valuation is, sort of dependable at present. You know, we've had a wide array of different valuations been put forward. The goal now is obviously to allow the buy side team, sell side teams to sit with management, get the assessment of what's coming, produce some further guidance to come through. We have had the pro forma numbers that have come through, which by our expectations have beaten what we had estimated. And we'll probably get a little bit further guidance this week, if not next week. And from there on in, it's just a stepping stone on sitting down with investors and getting closer to that expected IPO, which we still think will come through in 2025, just based on the progressions of how they're going.
How long have you been invested in this story?
Alec, I think when we first started speaking, which was 2021 or 2022, when we spotted the niche opportunity or the asymmetrical opportunity, we started buying quite aggressively around 450 and was just marginal buyers all the way through. What we would like to see now is just some kind of clarity on timing. The exact split on how the IPO would go hasn't been confirmed just yet. But I would say that there probably was an element of expectation in some investors going into the last couple of weeks on the announcement of some type of dividend and specie. In other words, a split out of some Celsi shares to the shareholders. And as it stands, Blue's taking the preference to rather sell down more equity, use the cash to pay off its outstanding debts and get back to business, and let Celsi also have a clean balance sheet, go through with a very limited amount of debt and focus on its strategic goal. So I think we'll be able to see the sum of total parts in a much more calibristic way, where we can actually sit down and go, right, that's what worth X and that's worth Y. And therefore, we, you know, putting an evaluation of X and Y together.
And what's the share price now?
Alex, I think as of today, it was around R12.70. It's down probably about 20% month to date. It did have its earnings out, which on release had quite a spectacular move, but that was more of a readjustment that was coming through from Blue Label's side. But yeah, I think the performance speaks for itself. It's still one of the best performing stocks besides some of the gold plays in South Africa at present. And I think we're also seeing a little bit of just rotation coming into the market. You've got a real reallocation of funds that are looking to go into sectors where portfolio managers are very underweight, specifically miners, specifically PGMs, specifically golds. So we've expected a little bit of a pull down in SAA stocks. But I think if you're looking for a really asymmetric story with a really unique opportunity, I think if Blue Label can get back to its old business ways, you know, it's a platform, low capex business, high free cash flows, dividends to come, share buyback opportunities. You start to see it go back to its old ratings. And, you know, if we can see the PE valuation get back to 10 to 15 at least, then the share price should at least double from where it is. We currently have it on a PE forward of about 5.5.
Wow. So that's very cheap. And for people who don't understand that, if you work it back 5.5 on a yield, if you were comparing it with what you'd get from a bank yield, you're talking about just under 20% return, which is pretty good. You've mentioned asymmetric a couple of times. It means different things to different people. Just explain what it means to you.
So, I mean, if we look at the valuation currently now, and if we assume they get their IPO targeted level, even if it's around 15 billion rand, Blue Label will own 93%. It'll give away circa 4% over a couple of years to management. So let's just say 90%. If it gets away with the IPO, even at 15 billion rand, it puts you on a 13.5 billion rand sort of multiple or valuation towards Blue. Now, currently, Blue's market cap sits at about 11.5, 11.6 billion. So what the market is discounting is circa the upside there, and then also Blue's entire core business, which is, you know, put it on a valuation anywhere between 7 and 9 billion going forward. Yeah, I think that's where the asymmetrical return is. If you sit in Blue and you sit in Blue as a shareholder and you believe the IPO will give a value of anywhere between 15 and 18 billion, then I think there's a huge asymmetrical upside. Even after settling all of the outstanding debts, the businesses get back to normal and cash flow gets back into the businesses.
And asymmetrical to someone like me means, well, it can either go really well or it can go really badly. How would it go really badly, though? What would be the big risk here to the Blue Label shareholders buying today?
I think the biggest risk is the valuation. Whether they get the lower end or upper end, how much of that they sell. So, you know, if they stuck with only selling 25% versus selling the 50-60% that they had envisioned, you know, then the market might sort of question how the liquidity around the business goes for the next year. My gut feeling is they will probably allow the valuation of the IPO to sit just over 15, 16 billion to get it away. And I think they will try and get down to that roughly 35 to 40% range. Try not to hold a controlling interest and let the business, yeah, do its own thing.
Okay. You own Blue Label shares. You're not going to get for free shares in Celsi. Is that correct? In other words, you said there wouldn't be a dividend in specie?
As it stands, no. Everything's up to interpretation. I think the market still has to vote. There still has to be a shareholder vote. There still has to be a board vote. There still has to be a notice to offer to come through. But as it stands, I think the status quo going forward is Blue Label will be selling down X percentage of Celsius. Funds will be used within the business to settle debt, pay special dividends, improve working capital as per the circular. Basic stop start.
So would you, as things stand today, be in the queue to buy Celsius shares when it's separately listed, or when it gets separately listed, if it gets separately listed? I suppose all of those things are still up in the air, but it could come around next year.
If I had to choose between the two entities, is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm asking whether I'm trying to work out two things. First of all, Blue Label looks to be a good investment, but it would be even better an investment if there's going to be a queue of potential buyers for the shares of Celsius when it does get listed. In other words, it's a good business. You've told us about the niche that it has, but there's also this reputation of being a big loss maker over many years.
Yes. So I think having sat down and listened to a lot of the guidance from management from the Celsius side, we're expecting quite robust numbers coming through. We've already had the pro forma numbers over the last 2 days come out, which was better than we expected. Definitely shows a story of growth. Definitely shows a story of cash conversions coming through. Definitely speaks to the story of dividends within Celsius within the next 12 months. So we've gone from a company making a loss to just recently making a profit to going forward, making a profit, paying dividends. And I think the rationale to think about here is Blue Label wouldn't be implementing this restructure from debt to equity if they did not see a good opportunity to get a return out of their shares. For all intents and purposes, the question might be asked, why are they selling it now and not later? I guess the market's been quite buoyant over the last 6 to 12 months. We had all-time highs across the board. Striking while the iron is hot is one way to speak about it. Telcos have had a significant outperformance this year as well. Yes, they've come back a little bit now over the last couple of months. But, you know, next year we could have a recession and then, you know, the interest might not be as favorable. But speaking to, you know, pension funds and we haven't had an IPO of this significance since, I think, Boxer. There's very limited amounts of new money out there, and pensions need good dividend stories, and this is one of them. But I really think if you look through the whole cycle, if you look through the businesses, yes, Celsius is a fantastic business, but Blue Label, the engine underneath that, has a significant moat. It's the engine for so many businesses in the background. It's a true fintech business with a true fintech story. And for me, I actually can't wait for them to get back to their old ways, get back to what they do best, get the shareholders coming back, buying the stock, believing in the story, and then obviously focus on capital allocation. I think that's one of the big things that's been lacking over the last decade. And I think the managers are keen to get going on that as well.
It's been quite a story for them. And if you are the proverbial mouse swallowing an elephant, because to a degree, Celsius was a bit of an elephant for Blue Label. They've now digested it, sending it off on its own way. And you've kept the faith, and the people that you advise have done very well out of it, nearly trebling your money in the last few years. And I guess you're also telling the rest of us the story's not over. Especially on the Blue Label side. So keep the faith as you are. Dylan Bradfield is the portfolio manager at Sharenet. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.